Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Career Conversations with Oyinda Mola Hosley. This is a self-help and career development podcast that inspires us to fearlessly pursue our dreams and have successful careers. Each episode will feature me having authentic conversation with established career professionals. They will share their journey, experience, and practical tips with the purpose of impacting and equipping us to improve our personal and professional lives. Joining me today is Confidence, popularly known as Sissy Nerd. From her social media pictures and video, you can tell that she's truly a Sissy. What I can tell you from reading her profile and combing her LinkedIn page is that she's truly a nerd. Confidence is a cybersecurity professional and information technology expert with over a decade worth of experience in technology. She is leading the fight against cyber and digital fraud in Africa through her organization, CyberSafe Foundation. Her flagship initiative, No Go for Omaga, is combating digital fraud perpetrated through social engineering by delivering simple, relatable cybersecurity education across Nigeria and beyond. Confidence is listed as one of the top 50 women in cybersecurity in Africa. And I would like to add, we are both card-carrying members of Life Series Accountability and Mentoring Group put together by Mrs. A. Thank you so much, Confidence, for coming on board.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay. So before we go into your career, I would like to know about, you studied engineering and information technology. Is this your passion or was it peer pressure or how did you pick on that?
Okay, it's a very funny story. I was supposed to be a medical doctor, actually. Yes. I'd written my exams, like college jam in Nigeria. And I was waiting to get my results and go to ABU Zaria to study medicine. So in the middle of that, my parents were like, you know what, just while away time and just to, you know, idle, go to this computer place and begin to learn about computers and just, you know, let's while away the time while you wait for your results. And it was in that whiling away time, I got exposed to technology and I was like, whoa, I die here. I'm going nowhere. I'm studying no medicine. So my admission came to study medicine at ABU Zaria and I had to convince my parents that that wasn't going to be the direction anymore.
I'm not going to be a medical doctor anymore, guys.
I'm going to be a medical doctor now. I want to be a competent professional. I want to be this. And I had to do a presentation to my parents with cardboards. I mean, in retrospect now, I don't know if I'll be as brave as my parents, you know, to just let me do, I mean, you know, let me do what, I think that was also one of the first pitches I ever made in my life. Because it taught me quite a lot. When I believe in something, to just try to convince other people around it and get them on board. So my parents were the first people I pitched to and got on board. And it was quite a big fight because my father till today still wants me to have the doctor name to me. And I'm like, you know what, I'll become an honorary doctor one day. Yes, and you're going to get the doctor Confidence very soon. You know. Yeah, but that was how it all started up. And I got a diploma in advanced software engineering. I started coding at age 18.
Wow.
I enjoyed it so much. I got a BSc in information technology and business information systems. And that's where the business side of things comes in as well. I wanted to combine my knowledge in technology with business as well. I find that gave me a very rounded field to things. I knew the doing and I knew the business of it. And I also got a master's in information technology management. So I'm quite rounded.
Of course, I am your LinkedIn page, so don't worry. I know more. I mean, but one thing I really love, I mean, I just want to achieve that in with everything that you have, because I know that you are like one of the top, you know, cybersecurity queen in controlling that space in Nigeria. So for you to say that is something that you actually kind of stumble on, guys. Do you hear that? Can you pick on that? So sometimes. It's all about
things, life does sometimes go linear. Say, I'm marching forward. Sometimes you can take a turn. This is like, we just even started, like, I can already take gold from this conversation.
Again,
coming down, U-Haul, sometimes is a collar, like first class. So I want to, have you always been a CC or you were a nerd? And you're like, you know what? It wouldn't be bad to have the CC or you were a CC. And you know what? Nerd is it or everything follow come.
So I've been a fine mixture of both. And I say this a lot that I think I have two personalities. I can very well be a nerd. Like I can be head deep. But man, if you come to the CC side of things, I ain't lacking at all. So, I kind of looked at myself, you know, again, you know, I sat back and started assessing myself, my strengths, and I found that I had both worlds. And so I called myself CCNet after a self-assessment of myself that, okay, I'm a badass in technology, but then I haven't lost my feminine touch. And I also found that was a unique selling point because a lot of people, their views around somebody who is great at technology is that they should look a certain way, behave a certain way. I found that I was constantly breaking that stereotype. So I needed to put it out there and make it really strong around my brand. You know, I am a nerd, but then I'm still very in touch with my feminine side, you know. I still want to have nice long nails, you know, done. I still want to have my makeup lit. But when it comes to doing, I ain't lacking at all. I will be definitely doing acing it as well. So that's where this CCNet came in. It became a name because I could tie that to a lot around my personality.
I mean, guys, just make a trip. Take a trip to CCNet's Instagram page. I mean, sometimes I'm like, what? Then, you know, I look at her page. I look at her profile on LinkedIn. I'm like, okay, no way, you know, I'm gonna bring her on board because you can be a CC, I mean, a baby girl, and you can still be your nerd doing, you know, IT coding stuff. You can hear she's been coding today, so you can be hot. Yeah. So this is, again, speaking to people that have said, you cannot be all that you want to be. You can be all that you want to be. Like, this is an example I'm bringing here for you guys. So it's not story. This is her. So thank you so much so far for sharing all this with us. So now,
thank you.
Go to your career journey. So can you share how it all started, where you are now in your career journey?
So I would say that I'm quite, I'm an exceptional case of the system working. I am not from a privileged background. I say it very often that I was from a wealthy family, but they were not wealthy with fiscal riches. So my parents are not rich by any standard. I would say I grew up in a background that's poor. Poor in fiscal, whether it's poor in fiscal.
Liquid
cash, you know, but my parents always believed I could be anything I wanted to be. I mean, I grew up with such a huge self-esteem. My parents sometimes will not be able to afford Christmas clothes. I know you're Nigerian, so you know how big this thing is. You know, like, you have to buy clothes for children at Christmas. Sometimes my parents are not able to afford that, you know, but I grew up with such healthy self-esteem because my parents always say, you know what, it can be anything you want to be and stuff like that. And so it was also a good thing that I was quite good in my academics. So I started enjoying being helped financially with my education from as early as my nursery school. I mean, from primary school, I got someone who was paying my fees. And secondary school as well, I got support. And then the one that was one of the biggest support was, getting a BSc. Mm. I randomly got a scholarship, randomly. I say I'm an exceptional case of the system working. My state government paid for me to, get a BSc in a business and information systems.
In Nigeria, right? They paid in Nigeria.
Yeah, my state government in Nigeria paid for me.
Sometimes it's not all state government that are useless. It's
just exactly.
I always say it's not for you to know where the information are and go on.
And either, let me just spill this. I've never shared this on a podcast or anything anywhere before, but I would share with you. I'll show you exactly what happened. So I had, at the time, I was studying, I was getting my diploma in advanced software engineering, and and this opportunity came up. Somebody was having a problem with their iPad. And it wasn't a big problem. It was a really close problem, actually. His mails were not coming through on his iPad, and he needed to configure his... And he was a guy who was who couldn't be bothered with technology. So they said, well, who would help us with this? And then iPads were just a new invention. They just entered Nigeria. So I did own one myself, to be very honest. I don't even know what emboldened me to say I can do it. Anyway, I was brought in front of this government official who, you know, couldn't be bothered about this thing. He was one of the top, like he was like the right-hand man of the governor in the state at that time. And then I was brought into his office, you know what? Come and help him fix his iPad. And he was on his desk opposite me, and he literally just, he didn't lift his head up. He just pushed his iPad to me. I was like, whoa, like this man didn't even look at the person they brought to do this. Like, put, he just put, like, pushed the iPad to me after narrating. He was still looking down. He narrated what was wrong with it and then pushed the iPad to me without even, he was just busy in what he was doing. So I pushed the iPad back at him, you know, like, you know what? Yeah, I pushed the iPad back. And then he lifted up his head and looked at me like, why did he push it back? I'm like, sir, I want you to do it yourself so that you won't have to call me again to do it for you. Because it was a really close thing. It was just a configuration, and I wanted him to learn how to do it for himself. So I didn't know that that was mind-blowing for him. So I taught him how to do it himself, and I walked away. I thought that was it. And then he asked who I was for me to have the confidence. Because he lifted up his head, and I was one little lady that could actually have the guts to push back in his body. Like, why did I do it for him? Like, he always gets it. Why was this person different? But honestly, I wasn't trying to be different. I just wanted him to learn because it was a really close problem he had, and he needed to learn how to do it himself. So I didn't know that I had impressed upon his heart, and he found out about me, and we got talking, and I told him, I needed to advance my studies. And then he took it up with the governor. I wrote my application, and I wanted a scholarship, and my parents couldn't afford it. And he just vouched that I was an exceptional person. Because he had just experienced something he had never experienced before. There was a little lady that was bold enough, very knowledgeable still, and, you know, taught him through how to do this himself. So that was exactly how it was. And I got that first scholarship. I got a scholarship to study IT and Business Information Systems at the University of Middlesex. And because I came up with a first class there, it was easy to go back and sell myself. Okay, you gave her an opportunity. She did very well. She came out with the first class, made us all proud. So, you know what? I got another scholarship to do an MSc, and I came out again with a distinction. So, so that was how my career started. But then again, while I was doing my MSc in IT management, one of my electives was cryptography. One that I picked because I wanted something challenging that was different from my BSc. Incidentally, that was where my cybersecurity journey started off from, because cryptography is a part of cybersecurity, and it was tough, but that course was what launched my interest in cybersecurity. Incidentally, also, the person who was the lecturer for cryptography became my project supervisor for my MSc degree. Also, he's become the head of the Research Institute for the Wolverhampton Research Institute for the UK government as well. So he also went in that trajectory and has just been in touch, and we've been sort of been helping me on my journey. And that's where it started off from. From then on, I started, you know, came back to Nigeria, started applying my knowledge, started doing a lot of consulting and being part of projects informally until I gained my first role in cybersecurity. And then on, I've been gaining experience and knowledge on this journey. So it's been, I've just been, you know, sort of taking advantage of the events of my life, if I want to put it that way.
Yes, I mean, I have my notes here. And one thing I mean, because of the things you've already shared, you yourself, you might not know, but you know, you see that event with that government official, I link that back to how you were raised. Because you said something that you didn't know. Yeah, your parents might not have liquid cash, but they instilled in you huge self-esteem. So it's that self-esteem that made you look at him and, you know what? Come, let me school you on how to do it. And again,
exactly.
So that's all. I tie that back to, you know, the huge self-esteem you spoke about. And again, everything you were saying also boils down to something. You were feeding your curiosity. Just feeding your curiosity. So this is another thing that people should also, you know, just try. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't work well, at least you tried.
At least you did.
So yeah, thank you so much for, you know, showing us that and sharing this with us. So I would have said, you know, why cybersecurity, career in cybersecurity, but I think you kind of just already touched on that. If there's just anything you want to add, you can add.
Yeah, so I found cybersecurity very intriguing. It's fast-paced, it's changing. I'm one person who gets bored sometimes, but when something is not challenging, I get bored when it's not challenging, you know, but cybersecurity doesn't give you an opportunity to get bored. You're constantly learning, you're constantly finding new things, things are evolving, you know, so it's very, very interesting. So it stays interesting as well. So that's why I picked cybersecurity. I picked my interest and it's just been, you know, constantly engaging for me. And you said something about curiosity. That is one word that really, really, really describes me. And cybersecurity gives me rewards people who are curious. You get what I mean? So it was natural for you to just blend in and just work in and do well in.
Right. I mean, and you've again sort of started to touch on what I wanted to ask, because I know that cybersecurity, I really don't know a lot, but I kind of know that it's still a bit, I mean, that industry is still kind of a bit young in Nigeria, in Africa. So I wanted to know, how is the ecosystem currently? I mean, how have you seen the change from what it was, what it is now? And then, do you think there are still opportunity, or you and your colleagues have grabbed everything? Or is there still for people? So I would like to know.
Yeah, the ecosystem in Nigeria is just budding, literally. And then there are different players at different levels of maturity. For example, the banking industry is absolutely already mature. In fact, they're reaching a very high level of maturity as we speak. But then there are other sectors that are not doing anything at all yet. And I just beginning to see the importance of it. So that the country at the moment is at different levels, different industries at different levels of maturity. But the opportunities are, it's just beginning to board in Nigeria. So the opportunities are immense. There are also laws that begin to come into place. There are agencies now that are looking at issues like data privacy. So it presents also an opportunity to engage both private and public stakeholders on the importance of cybersecurity. So it shows you that it's beginning to grow. The opportunities for even work opportunities are growing, and the importance of industry is growing in Nigeria. Recently as well, there was the president, to show how important this was, the president recently endorsed and launched the cybersecurity strategy for Nigeria for the next 5 years. And one of the key things around that strategy is building capacity of our institutions to react to cyber crimes as well. And of course, building capacity of individuals, talents needed to drive the industry. So there's quite a lot that's going to be going on in the next 5 years going to that document. But whether or not the government actions it, that document already says a lot around where we are. We already have, frameworks and things to help us grow in the industry in Nigeria. So I would say it's budding, and it's among the foremost in Africa as well. We are doing well around the continent. Globally speaking, we are very far from where we should be, but I'd say we are growing. And if there's anything that should prompt our need to treat cybersecurity with urgency, all of the events that have been happening. I mean, the NSAS, for example, there was quite a lot of activism around that. A lot of hacks happened just because of that. So that has shown us that this is very important. Every now and again, we're having people lose money because of cyber crimes. So a lot of people are seeing that, even everyday individuals, not just organizations, are seeing the need for cyber security and the need to be cyber safe and safety conscious on the internet. We've also seen that COVID has also played a very major role in increasing the awareness around cybersecurity and the fact that a lot needs to be done. So there have been enablers, and there are things that I can see that are pointed that in no time, the opportunities are going to burst way more than we currently have.
Thank you so much. I mean, confidence for sharing that. So guys, confidence, now I want to ask you, do you sometimes feel like, do I really belong here? Like, you know, that crazy imposter syndrome, like, am I even sure what I want to do? Like, hey, am I good enough? Do you sometimes feel it? And if yes, how do you deal?
So this thing is so real. I mean, I think I take it from two major angles. One is I'm a Christian, so of course that's the first angle I'm going to bring up. There's been scriptures that have been with me for some time, and I have constantly boosted my my view of myself. And one of those scriptures is around, is in Esther. And it was around, the Bible says she was made for such a time as this. I've held on to that scripture so strongly. So every time I feel like I'm not enough to be in this particular room, I say that I was made for such a time as this. It was because I'm empowered for this time that I'm actually here. And one of those very strong occasions was in 2019, I was invited to the Central Bank of Nigeria retreat. So the retreat was attended by the CBN governor, the top management of the CBN, and all CEOs of all the banks. So all the major banks in Nigeria, their CEOs know me by name right now after that event, like on a first name basis. So I walked into that room and I saw the CEO of Access Bank, saw the CEO of GT Bank, I saw the CEO of First Bank, I saw the CEO, just name all the commercial banks in Nigeria, their CEOs were there sitting next to me. Like, I was on stage at some point also talking on the panel. Who was I on the panel with? I was on the panel with a partner in Deloitte as well. I was on the panel with someone that, you know, that's top in I think it was Kaspersky. I can't remember, Symantec. So I was on that kind of panel and I was the only lady as well. So I was in that room and I was like, oh my God. So before, when I saw the people that I was going to be speaking with, when I saw the attendees of this event, I was going to be a panelist and speaking in front of as an authority, I was asking myself, Jesus, my legs were shaking. Are you sure? Malta screamed at me, I was like, but you think they're inviting you to that place because they like you? No.
He's right.
It's because they're coming with value. You're coming, they're seeing the value, but you need to see the value as well. So also, I've had this support system. I've just mentioned one of my strongest pillars, my husband, who reminds me, reminds me that.
Give me a cold drink for him tonight. For even saying, think about your value, please.
Exactly. Like, what are you saying? You think they're calling them because they like your face? They know that you're coming with value. It is hot. Better go and give them as they want it hot, hot, you know?
God bless you.
I get those boosters. I get those boosters from the Bible. I get those boosters from, you know, and then over time too, I have just reminded myself, just like David, he said, he told, when he was in front of Saul, he said, I killed a lion with my bare hands. I've killed a bear with my bare hands. So the fact that I've conquered that room in CBN, with CBN, it reminds me every time that I can go to the World Bank. Of course, the day I get the opportunity to the World Bank, I'm going to remember I was with CBN and all the governors and, you know, all of the intimidation that comes with these kind of rooms, and I was able to deliver, you know. So why can't I take on the World Bank? So again, my past experiences are again beginning to add up right now and helping to remind me of the value I bring and how strong a person I am and my skill sets and the fact that I can conquer any territory, really. So that's, I would say, that's how I've been dealing with imposter syndrome so far. And what I would say also practically again is, for everyone dealing with imposter syndrome, sit back and write your CV, just like I've said David did. Write the things that you've been able to achieve. When you see the things you've been able to achieve, they're emboldening you to do more. And I do that personally on my LinkedIn. I have my about actually written, and I go back and update it every now and again. I have spoken here. I have gotten this award. I have done this. I've done that presentation. Those things help embody you for bigger things in the future.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And I like the fact that you spoke about the brag sheet. Can you guys hear? She said, write about the brag. I know Mrs. Oshika taught us that. So, hey, guys, you see?
Brag sheet.
So, thank you so much. So, I mean, you've sort of said something about that earlier, but I just wanted to know, in your industry, and you just said that, you know, they were, I think it's almost like male dominated. So how did they all accept you? Did they want you to kind of look a certain way, or they just be like, well, she's a breath of fresh air, and they just said, okay, how was it?
Okay, so I think I definitely always get the feel of the breath of fresh air. I think there's so much around me that is very different from what they're used to. Very different. And to be very honest with you, I don't care if they do or not accept me. I'm on a mission. I don't know if they do, if I was to put it that way, in a Nigerian way, you know? Yes. But that would be basically what I'm saying, that in good English would be that I'm running my race and I'm not looking left or right. My eyes are fixed on the ball. But I would say that I have actually been warmly received. I bring in quite a different perspective, a lot of things. And I think people are just, you know, curious about, you know, sort of like, how is she seeing things? How can we bring on board? Yeah. How can we? I find a lot of people are just stretching their hands right now and just starting to want to experience me. Before now, it was sort of like, let's watch her from a distance. But now it's more like, get on this train, you know, hook up with her. She has value to share. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of things that she can contribute. So yeah, I think I've been warmly embraced recently. I've had more yeses than noes. I've had more people actually pitch to me to be on their teams now. So yeah, it's been great.
I love that. I mean, from a diversity angle and being a Nigerian, I like to hear, I mean, I'm happy to hear this. So nice, lovely. I love that. Okay. So far, what has been your biggest challenge? And how did you overcome it? And what lessons did you take away from such event?
Okay. My biggest challenge has been, my two biggest challenges has been transitioning from, going from being employed to being an entrepreneur. I think that that transition was very tough.
Yes, and we have to honest. I mean, entrepreneur is not waking up at 7 or 8, waking up at 10 o'clock and sleeping back at 4. People need to also get that.
It's not a walk in the park at all. I'm worried not just about myself anymore, but about other people, making sure that you get paid, their salaries and stuff like that. So that was one of the most challenging parts of my career. The next most challenging was juggling, building a family and my career. And the truth is, I now understand why they're fewer. I see what you're showing me.
Because guys, right now, you know, I have my baby at my back and I'm just showing, I mean, what you just said, she's true. If not for, you know, being resilient and tenacity, you know, I can be like, what? My child is crying, I don't want, but you can say right now, I'm showing my baby at my back, but I know that I cannot not be here.
Yes, I mean, women are working twice as hard as men where they are. And then they're still constantly being undermined, is the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, just not to pull you too much back, I was interviewing girls for Cyber Girls, it's a photoshoot here. It's a 20-year-old girl, while I was interviewing, was saying, oh, she wants to do cybersecurity because she wants to be respected. Like, you know, she wants to do something to be respected. This girl is just 21 and she already feels not being respected because she's female. I mean, so these are the everyday problems we deal with as women. So I believe that, I think that that's one of my major challenges, juggling family and career. And how did I overcome it? I think for entrepreneurship, I just wake up always remembering what the big picture is, what do I want to achieve? And I think that was very clear to me from day one. So that clarity is really, really, really helping me keep my eyes focused and weigh the challenges and be able to look inward and pull up and play my strengths up. I find that people sometimes always looking at their weaknesses. I delegate my weaknesses, yes, I do. And then I always play up my strengths. So playing up my strengths has helped me with this entrepreneurship journey. And for juggling motherhood and family life and my career, I would say that one of the biggest things I've had to do is literally use my community. It takes a village to raise a child, but I don't even believe it takes a village. I think it takes a village to not just raise a child, but to even build a family. There are many times when I have to write certification exams, and I just know that I have to shut down. You know, in those times of shutting down, but things have to run because I'm no longer just alone as a person. Yeah. I have a community that is literally backing me. I have my stakeholders supporting me. I just piggybacking to Mrs. Awoshika and all she taught us. She said, you know your stakeholders.
Yeah.
Pull them in. Like, pull them in because that's the way you can achieve what you want to achieve. You know, you can really leverage them. I mean, today I can tell you that if I need to write any exam, I will take my son and put him in his grandma's house and I will go ahead and go to a hotel if necessary, sit down and study. And everything's going to run fine. Because I know, yes, I have identified her as a stakeholder and I am servicing those relationships that need to be serviced and I'm leveraging them because the world is demanding so much of women. in so much. And we need that, we need this key lesson in back on.
I know.
And I think for me, that has been my cheat sheet. I am servicing those relationships, I'm building them, I am making sure that I'm serving them and they're serving me, because I think they, those are the systems I need to fall back on to surge ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. And shout out to Mrs. A for teaching us not to feel guilty when we do this thing. Like, don't feel guilty, for, you know.
I feel nothing. Because you know what I remember? I said, oh, if my son in 10 years' time looks at me, he'll be proud. That is my mommy. When he see me, that is my mommy. So why am I feeling like, oh, if I does not feel like, oh my God, I feel, no, I remind myself, that child that I'm keeping away for some time, he's going to be so proud of me. He's going to be so proud of me. Sacrifices. And really, the truth is that as a person raising a family, everybody's paying the price with you as well. The price for greatness is paid across board. It's not just you.
Yes, I completely agree with you. So before I go to my last question, can you tell us about, I think the name of your business now is No Go For Maga, am I right? Or that's just one?
I would say foundation. That's one of the initiatives. One of the initiatives. Maga is one of
I know that one. No Go For Maga. Yeah. Can you just briefly speak about your business, what you do, and how you support, businesses in Nigeria, or what you do, so that, you know, we don't know where this podcast will fly. You can come back and, you know, consult to know that you are the one running the show of cybersecurity in Nigeria and in Africa.
Okay, great. So my organization is called CyberSafe Foundation. We are on the mission to facilitate pockets of changes that make the internet safer for everyone in Africa, starting with Nigeria. So we do that, and it focuses on facilitating pockets of changes on human behavioral and capacity changes. So two key focus is behavior of people that maybe might make them unsafe. And then the second thing is capacity of people to actually be fair and protect themselves on the internet. So we do that in several ways. So we have a couple of initiatives. We have four key initiatives. And for all of them, we are more invested in supporting the most vulnerable people in our society. So for children, for example, we have an initiative for them. We are setting up clubs currently now in schools and helping them navigate the internet safer. So we have an initiative for that. We have an initiative also for older people as well. We know that native citizens of digital world, and they just need to learn about these things, and then to add the added thing of security as well, that they have to be mindful of. They're also always almost on at the cross. They almost have crosshairs every time at the back, you know, because cyber criminals are targeting them. So we also have an initiative around them. We call it Shine Your Eye. You know, we target them, and then we try to provide them with the necessary information to protect them from cyber crimes. We also have No Go For Maga. No Go For Maga
That's the one I love.
It's a vibrant community of young people that are driving awareness about cyber, about social engineering, because social engineering is the number one cyber threat faced in Nigeria. People get called over the phone, and they provide banking details freely, and they are defrauded. People get to receive emails, and there are harmful codes attached to them. They download malware onto their computers because they do not know better. So No Go For Maga is helping those people, you know, gain awareness to protect them, and also sometimes helping them with recovery. I mean, we have a specialized team in No Go For Maga that helps people recover their social media hacked accounts. Their social media is hacked, they're helping people, hundreds of people recover their accounts. So that's an arm. And one last one is Cyber Girls. That's our newest baby, and it's so exciting. What we're doing is we're trying to solve multiple economic, socioeconomic problems with this initiative. So we're getting girls between the age of 15 to 21 to gain
my nieces are coming.
We need to bring all sorts of cybersecurity skills that make them, you know, begin to seize work opportunities within Nigeria and outside of Nigeria. With that, we're trying to solve multiple problems, from skills gap in the tech industry to skill gap in the cybersecurity industry, to gender disparity in the tech industry, to poverty, to hunger, to underemployment and unemployment. I mean, you can name them. There's so many problems that initiative is solving. And for our pilot, we are working towards 120 girls. Possibly, we are almost closing out a partnership with the state government We might increase that number to 220, you know. So that's where we are at the moment, and it's so exciting. We are able to impact different vulnerable groups, and that's what we do on a day-to-day. Recently, we closed out the project with the UK government. What we did, we supported SMEs and their employees to gain basic skills, cyber essential skills, to protect their organization. So we trained both technical staff and their non-technical staff in cybersecurity. And that was a very exciting project. We also were able to also have this mass cybersecurity awareness campaign. We worked on a song that will help people dance and vibe, but then be able to learn about cybersecurity as well. That was in partnership with the UK government. But what's most exciting is that the partnership, or rather that project, has ended. But in the spirit of sustainability, we just recently closed out a partnership with the Chief Information Security Officers of Financial Banks in Nigeria. They're taking up the song and the content we created, and they're going to be playing on their platforms. They're going to be playing in man trap doors in the banks. So that's again something I'm breaking on your podcast. They're going to be announcing that partnership very soon.
Oh, thank you. I love the song. I love it. I just love it. You know, that's when I remember you. You know, when I look at you, that's what I remember. No, go for my girl. I just
come. Yes.
So that was brilliant. And I'm happy that, you know, people are seeing the value and it's going. I mean, well done, confidence. I mean, you don't even know how excited I am for speaking to you. This is good stuff. Well done. Well done.
Thank you
well
so done. Much.
Thank you for coming. Like, thank you.
Thank you
so much for sticking till the end. I appreciate the time you've decided to spend with me. Kindly share the podcast with your friends. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please take a minute to drop a review. Reach out to us on the podcast Instagram page at Career Conversation Podcast, or reach out to me personally on at Oyindamola Osi on LinkedIn and on Instagram. I personally love to hear from you. Till next time, never stop believing and pursuing your dreams. You will realize it takes you to take a bet on you.